Welcome to Behind the Music, brought to you by the Wichita Falls Symphony Orchestra. We're thrilled to kick off a new season filled with a wide variety of music, from familiar favorites to pieces that might surprise you. This podcast gives you a sneak peek into each concert, featuring conversations with some of the amazing artists who bring this music to life. Whether you're a seasoned concert goer or new to classical music, we're excited to share these insights and stories with you. So let's get started. I'm pleased to introduce your host, the music director and conductor of the Wichita Falls Symphony Orchestra, Fuad Fakhoury.
Welcome to this episode of Behind the Music. I'm your host, Fuad Fakhoury. We are here today to talk to our guest artist and friend, Alessio Bax. Most of you are quite familiar with Alessio. He has been one of our frequent guests, and we are excited to have him come back, join us again at Fane Arts Theater on March 8th, and perform the Tchaikovsky Concerto with us. So welcome, Alessio.
Thank you, Fuad. Great to hear you.
Good to talk to you. So I'll just get into it. We are happy, really, to have you back on the podcast. I know we did one a few years ago when you came last, and I didn't want to go back to the same sort of questions that we did then. So with this recent, you know, with this one, I will forego any of the background information and just dive right into the music. As an artist working today, right, where we all have different times through life where we gravitate towards different types of musics or styles or pieces, what style or type of music today or composers do you find yourself most attracted to performing? And how does Tchaikovsky's piano concerto, this concerto that we'll be doing at our concert, relate to what you like to perform today?
Oh, that's a great question. You know, as you said, we often, you know, we cycle through various composers, and there are periods where we focus on some composers rather than others, then we move on. But I think if you take a step back and look this from even further, you see that there's a tendency to circle around the same composers or same styles. I mean, we are so blessed with piano literature, and you, of course, with orchestra. There is such a wealth of amazing music, and one lifetime is not enough. So I try really to keep it as varied as possible. But then, you know, over the years, I do circle around Beethoven, Brahms, and Rachmaninoff, and Mozart. But then the more names I give you, the more names will come up. So, but I have to say, you know, Tchaikovsky has been a constant. This piece in particular has been a constant in my life. It was one of the first concerti, definitely the first big romantic concerto I played. Now 30 years ago, and I don't think there's ever been a year when I didn't play. it's a joy to play. It's exciting music, so beautiful, and I love actually to, you know, I'm very excited working on new repertoire, but I equally love revisiting pieces that I've played all my life, because the biggest blessing we have is that we are confronted, we're in front of some of the greatest masterpieces of, that humankind has created, let alone musicians, you know, and to be able to get closer and closer with time and age and discover new things, it's just an endless work and joy.
Yeah, and I think this is something that probably our listeners, you know, it's an interesting thing that you mentioned. Most people hear the works and are exposed to these works probably on, on recordings. And they hear one or two or three different recordings, and they know these works that way. But for us, when we perform them, at least, I mean, I'm sure you're the same thing. Every time you redo the piece or you restudy it to perform it again, it's an exploration. You find things that you hadn't thought about before, or different ways of doing things. And I think the reason probably is because you're just like life. You're growing up. I mean, getting older, sometimes not growing up, but, you know, you're moving on in life and the piece moves with you. And that's the beauty of really revisiting these pieces, at least for me.
I mean, I think it's so true, especially with masterpieces. You know, they're, in a way, they're so much greater than us, who am I at, you know, 20 years old, for example, thinking that I know the Tchaikovsky concerto? You know, a week will pass by and then I'll discover something new. And this will be, you know, that's the biggest motivation to keep doing what we're doing. We'll never really get there because there's so much depth to these works. All we can do is bring, as you say, our life's experiences in into it, and our new discoveries. You know, what things that I learn about the piano every day, and about music in general, about life, and then try to see the piece with fresh eyes every time.
That's right. Yeah. So, while speaking about pieces, so you recently recorded your third duo album with your wife, Lucille Chung, in December, and your ninth solo album in June last year. Can you talk a little bit about the recording process and the similarities and differences between recording a solo versus a duo?
Yeah, this was very interesting because actually with the recording took place was pre-pandemic project that was delayed many times because of the pandemic and you know, you were talking about playing repertoire over different stages in your life. I mean, this was quite unique in a way that I had the repertoire ready years before, but then I was touring with it, so it actually changed a lot in those years where I could not record it. And then we ended up doing both recordings in about 4.5 days, which was quite quick for any standards, really. And there's one piece, which is an orchestral piece, is Ravella Vals, which appears in both recordings, in the two piano and the one piano version. So there was a lot of and you know, the solo recordings, it's called Forgotten Dances, and it goes from Bach to Bartok with dance suites, and so there's a big range of styles. And duo recording is focuses on Debussy and Ravel, but it's piano four hands and two pianos, so the range is also, even though it's focused on two single composers, the range is quite vast, because it's some original, very intimate forehand works, and then all the way to the transcription of Afternoon of a Faun that Ravel did of Debussy's music, and the Lavals, which is you know, this is a great orchestral piece. So that was quite a week, I have to say. But we were very lucky to have, you know, I've always had the same team, production team, for all my albums, and we recorded at the Saffron Hall just outside of London. It's a beautiful concert hall, great pianos, and a great team. So it was really a lot of fun, very intense but fun.
That's great. That's wonderful. As well as obviously concertizing and recording, you have been on the faculty of the New England Conservatory since 2019, I believe. Mm-hmm. How has your time there affected your busy schedule, your performance schedule, and and obviously, given the fact that you live in New York City, when do you get to see your family?
Yeah, that's one big challenge in a way. I mean, it takes a lot of planning, and I go about six times, I make six trips to Boston, and I stay, you know, 3 to 4 days, and basically teach all day, and then plan, you know, what the students are going to do while I'm gone, and then come back and come back home for single days very often. I just came this morning from, I'm in New York right now, but I came from Boston from 2 days, two full days of auditions, which was a lot of fun.
Wow.
And teaching in between, you know, lunch breaks and things like that. So it's quite intense. I do wish I could spend more time at home. But that also takes a lot of planning. So, you know, every school holidays, my daughter is 10 years old. We plan trips together as a family, whether we're playing or not, it doesn't really matter. She'll come with us, and then we discover new places together. And usually I take the latest flight out to a concert and the earliest flight in, trying to maximize the time home.
Yeah. So for our upcoming concert on March 8th, we'll obviously, we talked about, we're performing Tchaikovsky's Piano Concerto. you know, and looking at the history of the work, it's obviously had a complicated history. Tchaikovsky wrote it, and he had the Nikolai Rubinstein in mind to premiere it, but Rubinstein thought the work was basically unplayable. Mm-hmm. So he then approached the conductor and pianist Hans von Bülow, who premiered the work on tour in Boston, actually, where you know, we're just, yeah. So the audience obviously loved the work, and in fact, they loved it so much that von Bülow was asked to repeat the finale twice, and he did it as an encore. But my question really for you is, what do you think makes a piece successful, and how can critics who really did not like the piece when they first heard it, makes you know, be so off the mark when it comes to something like that?
Yeah, I mean, I think as a critic, if you go with the preconceived notion of what the piece should be, then you're probably shocked when you hear that this big romantic concerto, which has a big first movement, but the structure is not really clear. You know, the famous theme everyone loves and knows, it's just an introduction. Then never comes back, and then you have a kind of very lively folk tune, or Ukrainian folk tune as a main motif. Somehow, I think the music is so compelling, so honest, so exciting, so beautiful that I think the audience just really couldn't care less about the formal structure or think or scholarly preconception of how the piece should have been. You know, and yeah, they're just and it just is a piece that speaks to the heart, and then that's why we're still playing it, and it's an all-time favorite. So yeah, I think probably the critics, I don't know, they had a bad day, or they were just expecting something different, or they want to, you know, punish Tchaikovsky for not doing what he was supposed to do. Who knows? But yeah, you know, that even very quickly, like the piece sold itself, so it's something that needed time. Even,
I mean, I think this is one of the greatest things about Tchaikovsky. He is able to sort of forego. I mean, when you're listening to Tchaikovsky, you never think, at least I don't, unless I'm studying the piece, I'm never thinking about keys or formal structures or where we are in the piece. It's just he so grabs you with the emotional aspect of mm-hmm. the work that sure. you just go with the flow. And I think that's probably why the audience always loves Tchaikovsky.
Yeah, and it's always a journey. I mean, it's amazing. I mean, if you think in landscape terms, it's a journey through mountain and valleys and anything, and emotionally as well. So it's just telling so much. And as a concerto, it's pretty perfect because there's, you know, this big first movement with such contrasting material that somehow holds together great. And then there's really imaginative, not only virtuosic and very difficult to play, but imaginative cadenza, which creates really a world on its own. And then a charming second movement, so delicate and light. It really reminds me of Tchaikovsky's ballet music. Yeah. And the short, compact last movement, which is really like a folk dance. So it's got everything.
yeah, it really does. So before we're done and I let you go, just a quick thing. I know in the summers you go back to Florence, I believe, for a summer festival. Correct me if I'm wrong, it might not be Florence, but...
It's outside Siena, in the Val d'Orcia region of Italy, yes.
Yeah. So I'm assuming you're doing this again this summer, and do you have anything to share with our listeners about who will be there and types of activities you'll have?
Oh, sure. I mean, summer is always the time for festivals and kind of labor of love and projects that we do to nourish our soul, really. So this festival is called Incontri in Terra di Siena, Encounters in the Terra di Siena, in the land of Siena. And we always manage to attract some of the today's most exciting artists. I mean, we have this year, we have Mark Padmore, who's singing Schubert and Schwanengesang and Britten, the pianist Sun Wook Kim, and the violinist Clara Jumi Kang, the great Czech French horn player Radek Baburak, Lucille Chang will play, my wife and great pianist, Daishin Kashimoto will come back for, I don't know, I lost count how many times, he's the concertmaster of Berlin Philharmonic, and we have an emerging artist program which will present a really incredible South Korean violinist, Soyang Kim, who's already started a major career. And the list goes on, but it's a place where we all get together, we eat every meal together, and we create music that it's never been performed by these combinations before in this order. So it's something that is inspired by the land, by the beauty of the place, and happens in this amazing surrounding. So it's a dream destination. I'm very lucky.
Yeah, that's great. So for any of our listeners in Texas, whatever, it's very, very hot in Texas, you can just go to Siena and spend some time in the summer with Alessio and friends.
Yes, absolutely.
Well, listen, hey, thank you very much for joining us today, Alessio. It's always a pleasure talking to you, and I really look forward to our performance.
Yeah, me too. I can't wait to see you and play together again. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Join us for the next concert of our season, Romantic Journey, on March 8th at Fane Fine Arts Theater on MSU's campus. This concert will feature Alessio performing Tchaikovsky's Piano Concerto, Sibelius's Third Symphony, and Beethoven's Coriolanus Overture. Tickets are available now by visiting our website and by calling the WFSO office. Also, make sure you are subscribed to the podcast so you can get new episodes as soon as they are released.
Thank you, Maestro, and a big thanks to our listeners for tuning in. We hope you enjoyed today's conversation and feel a little more connected to the music and the musicians who bring it to life. Be sure to follow us on social media to stay up to date with the latest from the Wichita Falls Symphony Orchestra. On behalf of everyone at the WFSO, I'm Tim Williamson. Until next time, we hope you find joy and inspiration in the power of music. See you soon at the Symphony Orchestra.